Okay, good evening, everybody. Tomorrow's daf is Gittin Daf Nun. We are going to pick up on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, and honor his wife and children, and the Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha HaShalom. I'm not entirely sure where we should start, but I'm thinking maybe at Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, which is on the only medium-sized line on the page, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov on Mem Tes Amud Beis. The sugya is in the middle of discussing if a woman collects her ksuba from the husband and not from Yisomim, does she collect from Ziburis still? Is Ksuba Sisha always from Ziburis? Or is it that if only when she's collecting from Yisomim that it's from Ziburis? But if she collects from the husband himself, then it's going to be from Beinonis. So that is the middle of the sugya that we are going to pick up in. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether an Arev becomes Meshubad if the Lova doesn't have any Nechasim. Then on Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to talk about if the Shtar says that you're allowed to collect from Idis, meaning that's written into the shtar that you're going to be allowed to collect from Idis, can it still default to Ziburis when you're collecting from Yisomim instead of the guy himself? So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Then later on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about when collecting from Yisomim who are Gedolim, who are already over Bar Mitzvah, does it have to be from Ziburis? Or do we say that no, the idea that whenever you go from Minichas Yisomim is always from Ziburis, that's only for Ketanim, but once they're Gedolim, you treat them like adults. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss whether a Malva can collect from a Makabel Matana when the Lova still has assets to his name. And we're going to have an attempted Raya and three rejections, meaning certainly when the borrower still has assets to his name, you cannot go collect from fields that he has sold if he still has fields that are available to you. But what about fields that he's given away as a matana? Can you go take those away when he still has fields that are available to you? Then toward the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to have two explanations why a nigzal can't collect peros from Mishubadim. That's something that the Mishnah had told us. So at the end of the daf, starting at the two dots, we're going to have two different explanations for that. We'll see if we get there. So let's pick up with Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. But in order to understand what we're about to hit, we have to have a little bit of a background. The Gemara says in Maseches Bava Basra and Daf Kuf Ayin Dalid Amud Aleph that there are three types of Arevs. There are three types of co-signers. There's an Arev Stam, someone who tells the Malveh, do me a favor, Halvei Leploni Kesef, Ani Parea, you lend money to so-and-so, and if I need to, I'll pay back. So he has to pay the Malveh, the Chov, if the Lova doesn't pay. But the Malveh is not allowed to be Toveya, such an Arev, before he's Toveya the Lova, meaning the lender has to first go to the borrower to ask for the money. It's only if he's unsuccessful in collecting from the borrower, only then can he go to an Arev Stam. Second type of Arev we have is an Arev Kablan, someone who says, Tein lo, v'ani etein lecha. That's an Arev Kablan, and he's mechayiv himself to pay the halva'a, even if the Malveh is not Toveya the Loveh. An Arev Kablan would mean that if the lender wants to go collect, he need not go to the borrower at all. He could just go straight to the Arev and collect from him. And then the third type of Arev is what's called Nasa V'Nasan Beyad, that the Malveh gives the Kesef of the Halva'a directly to the Arev. He doesn't even lend the money to the borrower. He gives it to the Arev. And the Arev is the one that then gives it to the borrower. In such a case, we say in the Malveh ala Lova klum, that the Malveh has no tainas on the Lova. He didn't even do business with the Lova. He only did business with the Arev, and his entire claim is only on the Arev. So those are the three types of Arev. So again, you have an Arev Stam, where it's only if you can't collect, then you come to me and I'll pay it. Then you have an Arev Kablon, which is you can even come to me directly, but you can also go to the Lova directly. Whichever one you want to collect from, you can go to directly. And then you have Nasav and Nasav Biyad, where you have no relationship with the Lova, you can only come to the Arev. So now, says the Gemara, we had just brought a Raya, a second Raya from Abaye, brought a Raya that we said, Nizakin is Shamalan Be'idis, and Balchov Be'inis, and Ksub Zisha Be'ziburis. And we said, well, wait a second, if you're collecting from Yisomim, then all of them should be from Ziburis. So must be that the Mishnah is talking about collecting from the guy himself, and you still see that when you're collecting Ksubas Isha, you collect from Ziburis and not from Beinonis. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, no, our Mishnah is not talking about where you're collecting from the Yisomim, nor when you're collecting from the husband. Hacha Ma'eskinah, when we say Ksubas Isha Mine Ziburis, that you collect the Ksubas Isha from the Ziburis, it's Kagon Shanasa Arev L'Niske Beno, that a person was Mekabel on himself to be an Arev for damage that his son had done, and then his son died, or Lebal Chov Beno, to pay his son's Chovos, and then the son died, or Luxubas Kaloso, to pay his daughter-in-law's Ksuba, and then the son died. So in such cases, where the guy who actually had to pay died, and the Yisomim don't have any money to pay, then you collect from the Arev, Vahayki Dinei, and each of those Bali Chovos collect from the Arev based on what level of property they're allowed to collect from. When the Arev pays for the Nezek that his son did, he's got to pay from Yiddis, just like the Mazik himself would have to pay from the Yiddis. When he's paying back his son's Chov, he's got to pay Beinonis, just like the Lover himself would have paid Beinonis. When he's paying for the Ksuba, he doesn't have to pay Beinonis like the husband himself may have had to have done, according to Marzutra, the husband himself would have had to pay Beinonis. He pays Ziburis, just like the Yisomim would pay Ziburis. Now, why is it when it comes to the Nezek and when it comes to the Balchov, the father pays what the son would have paid, and yet when it comes to Ksubas Isha, he doesn't pay what his son would have paid, he pays what his grandchildren would have paid, what the Yisomim would have paid, because Nizakin and Balchov de Mechayim Gavu, Nizakin and Balchov are generally things that are collected while the guy's still alive. So Iunami ki magvi, ki Mechayim magvi. So when they collect from the father, from the Arev, they collect as if the son were still alive. But Ksubas Isha, the way Ksubas Isha normally works is the Lachar Misa Gavya. It only gets collected after the husband is dead. Oh, Lachar Misa Miman Gavya. Who do you normally collect from the Lachar Misa? Miasmi. You normally collect from Yisomim. So Yunami Kimagvi, Lachar Misa Magvi. So too, when you're going to the father of the deceased to collect, you collect in the same way that you would have collected had you gone to the children of the deceased. So each one gets paid back the way they normally would get paid back if, under normal circumstances. And just the way Ksubas are normally paid back is after the guy is dead. So therefore, it would normally be from Ziburis. So at the end of the day, the Gemara is telling us, it's not the end of the day yet, but what the Gemara is telling us, at this point in the Gemara at least, is that Marzutra may be correct. That when we say that you only collect Ksubas Isha from Ziburis, that's only if you're collecting from Yisomim. But if you collect from the husband himself, Ksubas Isha is even Mibeinonis. But if you're collecting from the father of the husband, because he became an Arev, then you collect from Ziburis as if you were collecting from the children of the husband. So, frak the Gemara on this answer of Rach Bar Yaakov, can you really say that we're talking about an Arev? The Tepikle, the Arev de Ksuba, lo mishtabed. Even if you take out the din of Marzutra, you can't say such a thing, because the halacha is that someone who becomes an Arev to pay back a Ksuba, there's no eschaivos. You can't collect from an Arev for a Ksuba at all. So how could the woman collect a Ksuba at all? There's no such concept of an Arev by a Ksuba. And we'll see soon why we believe that to be the case, that there's no such concept of an Arev by a Ksuba. So says Gemara, no, there's no such concept of an Arev stam by a Ksuba. But we're talking about the Kablon. Our Mishnah is talking about where the father became an Arev Kablon for his son's Ksuba. So the eschaivos of an Arev Kablon is stronger than an Arev Stam, because you can even collect from an Arev Kablon without going to the guy himself. You can go straight to the Arev, and that could work even on a Ksuba. So apparently an Arev Kablon could be Meshavid himself when he says, you give to the Lova and I'll give to you. I mean, you can come collect from me, and that works on a Ksuba as well. There is a Machlokas Amorayim whether an Arev Stam for a Chov or an Arev Kablon for a Ksuba are Meshtabit even if the Chayiv, the one who owes the money, doesn't have any Nechasim. Is he willing to be Meshabit himself even when the guy doesn't have any Nechasim? The fellow himself doesn't have any Nechasim to his name. So that's going to be a Machlokas we're going to allude to over here, but it really comes up in Babasra Daf Kuf Ayin Dalid Amud Bey. Some say that an Arev is Meshabit himself only if the guy who's Chayiv has Nechasim at the time of his Chayivus, because then you could say that the Arev is relying on those nechassim that they'll, in all likelihood, that those nechassim will pay back the chov. And therefore, he's gomer b'daito that he's going to be meshabin himself. But if the guy doesn't have any nechassim, I'm not going to be meshabin myself. Whereas others say that the Arev is meshabin himself, whether the guy has nechassim or not. So ask the Gemara, if you say that the Kablan is willing to be meshabin himself, even if the Lova doesn't have nechassim, so then the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's answer works very well. Because the Lova doesn't have any nechassim. The son of the Lova doesn't have any nechassim, because if he did, then the Malva would not have gone after the Arev, would not have gone after the father, because you're not supposed to collect from an Arev when the Lova has nechassim. But if you say that when the Lova has nechassim at the Shas Halva, then the Arev is going to be meshabed himself. But if he doesn't have nechassim at the Shas Halva, the Arev is not willing to be meshabed himself because he's going to be choshesh, and he'll never get his money back. So Michael and Meimar, how did the father ever become meshabed himself? How did he ever become an Arev in such a case? It could be that at the time of the loan, the guy had nechassim, but now he doesn't have any nechassim. They got ruined. Or you could say that the idea that I would never be meshabed myself if the lover doesn't have nechassim, if the guy who's chayiv doesn't have nechassim, that's not true when it's my son. When it's my son, I'll always be mechayiv myself. Meaning it's meisim b'chol yom, right? You have parents that are signing on their kids' mortgages and co-signing on their rental. I don't do that for other people. I'm not that kind of gvir that I'm signing up. But my kid, if he needs me to co-sign in order for him to get an apartment, yeah, so then I'm willing to do that. A person is meshabed himself when it comes to one's own children. Now, we mentioned parenthetically that there's a machlokas when you have an arev where the lovet doesn't have any nechassim, whether the arev is meshabed himself. So the Gemara now brings that machlokas, and we'll come to a halachic conclusion in that machlokas. See it, Mar. Arev d'ksuba divrei kol meshabed. When you're an Arev on a Ksuba, the person who's mekabel on himself to be an Arev on a Ksuba, there's for sure no Shibud. You can't be Toveya, the Ksuba money from such a guy, because he doesn't really plan on paying back the Ksuba. He only wants to do a mitzvah to try to help along in the Shidduch to make sure that this marriage goes through, and the woman is not giving anything to the husband, she's not chaser anything, so the husband is just being mechayev himself. We don't assume that the Arev would be doing that also. The Arev is not going to be mechayev himself in any way. Second in, kablon de bal chov divrei kol meshtabed. If you're an arev kablon, and it's for a chov, where the guy's giving money in order to be able to collect, he's lending money, so then we assume that everyone would be meshtabed himself, that he really is intending to be meshabed himself as an arev. The shaila is, arev de bal chov ve kablon de ksuba. What if you're an arev that's not an arev kablon, on a bal chov, so the arev says to the malva, lend him money and I'll pay you back, so it implies that if he doesn't pay you back, I'll pay you back. Or an arev kablon on a ksuba. So that pligi, that's a machlokas amoraim. Some say that you're willing to be meshabit yourself even if the lover doesn't have anything. And the other opinion says, that I'm only willing to be meshabit myself if the lover has something, but not if he doesn't. We paskin bekulu afal gav de lesluhu meshtabed. That in all these cases, even if the lover doesn't have anything, I'm willing to be meshabit myself, bar may arev de ksuba, the avgav de sleil ha-meshtabed, with the lone exception being the arev of a ksuba. By the arev of a ksuba, even if he has nechassim, I'm not willing to be meshabed myself for a ksuba. So my time, why? Why is a ksuba so much worse? That if I'm a co-signer on a ksuba, we assume I don't mean it. We assume I don't really want to be meshabed myself. So it says where there are two factors. Number one, mitzvah hu David, I'm just trying to get the shidduch going. Mitzvah David, I'm just trying to get them married. So I say, yeah, I'll pay the ksuba if the husband can't. I won't really, but I just want her to agree to get married. And second, v'lo midi chasra. The woman isn't really giving anything up over here. The husband is just being mechayev himself in the ksuba, so it's not costing the woman anything. So normally the fact that there's hana'ah for the arev on the fact that the other guy is trusting you to give give up money based on your word. So that gives me hana'ah. So with that hana'ah, I'm willing to be mishabed myself. Because, wow, you're willing to lend this guy $1 million, trusting that I'm going to cover it? That's a big kibbutz for me. But if no one's losing any money, the woman's not giving the husband anything, so there's no trust that's being given to the arev, and therefore the arev is not going to be mishabed himself. So now the Gemara goes back to Marzutra's original comment, which we started with, which is the that Marzutra had said that when we say that you collect subasisha from ziburis, that's only if you're collecting from yisomim, but when you collect from the husband himself, you collect from beinim. So says Gemara Tashima, may ikari takantan, from the reason the chamor masakin that a ksuba collects from ziburis, let's bring a raya. Yoser mimashe ish rotzalisa, isha rotzalinase. Why is it that you can get away with only paying ziburis for a ksuba? It's because women don't need encouragement to get married. Men need encouragement to get married. So in order to encourage the man to get married, we tell him, oh, don't worry, the ksuba is going to be able to be paid from your cheapest stuff. But v'isal kadaitach, if you're going to assume like Marzutra that miyasmi, that you only collect from ziburis if you're collecting from the yesomim, haimishim diyasmehu, then the real reason for the takana is because you're collecting from yesomim. It has nothing to do with who wants to get married. It's just that when you collect from yesomim, you collect from ziburis. But if you're collecting from the guy himself, then there is no such din of collecting from ziburis. Ah, so tiyufta de marzutra tiyufta. So that's the checkmate on Marzutra. It must be that there is actually such a rule that no matter who you're collecting subasisha from, you collect from ziburis, even if you're collecting from the guy himself. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses, what if you have a shtar that it says in the shtar that you're going to collect from idis, and then it comes time to collect, and there are only yesomim there, the guy's dead. So do you still collect from idis? Some marzutra bereid rav nachman, mishmeid rav nachman, shtar chova yotze al yesomim, even though the shtar chov says that it's meant to be collected only from the idis, you only collect from the ziburis. Now, if it says, the Ramban points out, it's quoted by the Rush, that if it says that you could collect from the idis, bein mimeni, bein miyarshai, then you would collect from the even from the arshim, from the idis. But if it just says you could collect from the idis, then you cannot collect from the arshim, from the idis. So I'm going to Abaye says, you know what? I'll bring you a raya that when it comes to collecting from Yesomim, you cannot collect from Idis, even though the shtar said Idis. The raya is that normally the halacha is that when you collect a chov, you pay from Beinonis. Umiyasmi beziburis. But yet, we downgrade you when you're collecting from Yesomim. So if that's true when it comes to a regular balchov, so the same should be true over here. That normally, if you're collecting what's written in the shtar, it would be from Idis, but if you're collecting from Yisomim, we downgrade you, and you're going to collect from the Ziburis. So Rava says, Hachi Hashta, how can you compare those two cases? A regular Balchov with a shtar that actually says the word Idis. Balchov, dinimidaraisa beziburis. The reason why you get downgraded to ziburis when you collect a chov from Yisomim is because really every balchov should be from ziburis. On a daraisa level, all balchov should be from ziburis. Kedu ula, damrula, dvar Torah balchov beziburis. Like Ula taught us that balchov collects from beziburis. Shenemar, b'chutz tamod v'ish. We said that you stand outside while the guy goes, brings the security for you. So, madar koshalish lotzi, what does he bring out? Pachashe b'kelim, his cheapest stuff. So, matam, amru, balchov, benis. Why did the Rabbanan change that and say that when you collect the chov, you're going to collect from the Beinonis? Because we want people to be encouraged to lend money. So we tell them, don't worry, you can lend money and you'll still be able to collect from decent stuff. So that's why we made such a takana that you collect from Beinonis. So when it comes to Yisomim, we'll say, you know what, let's go back to the Daraisa. We don't want to cost Yisomim, so we'll go back to the Daraisa you collect from Ziburis. That makes sense in that context. Elahacha, but over here we're talking about a case where the shtar said idis. It said shevach. So the kivan the din midaraisa idis. The din midaraisa is that he collects from idis. So feel me ask me nami be idis. Therefore, even if you're collecting from Yisomim, it should also be from the idis. The hezbra of this machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rava from by a malva that says beferish that it's going to be from idis when you collect from Yisomim. Do you collect from idis or not? Tosfos explains the hezbra of the machlokas is that Rava holds shibud d'oraisa. So in a Torah, the nechasim of the lova are meshubud to the halva'a. So in a Torah, the malva can always collect from the Yesomim and from the Lukuchos. So therefore, if the Malvet wrote Beferish that it's from the Idis, so Minatora, he's deserving of Idis, and therefore he can collect the Idis from Yesomim as well. But Rav Nachman and Abaye hold that Shibud Olavda Raisa, and therefore, even if you made it tonight to give him from Idis, when he dies and you're collecting from Yesomim, Minatora, you're not really allowed to collect anything, because Shibud Olavda Raisa. So therefore, if the Chachamim are going to be misaking something that you're allowed to collect, they'll tell you, okay, go collect Ziburis and not Idis. So ask the Gemara Ula Rava. According to Rava, who holds that if Mea Torah, the din is to collect from Idis, then you can even collect Idis from the Yesomim, Vatani Avram Chaza'a, but didn't Avram Chaza'a teach us that you can only collect chovos of the father from nichsei yisomim if you're collecting from ziburis, even if it's damages that the father did, where the halacha is that it's supposed to be idis, but nevertheless from the yisomim you collect from ziburis, by nizakin the din da'oraisa is to collect from idis. So how can you tell me that whenever the din da'oraisa is to collect from idis, then from the yisomim you're also going to be able to collect from idis? But that's not true. And nizakin is the din d'oraisa is be'idis, and when you collect it from yisomim, you only get ziburis. So says Mar Hacha Ma'askinon, Kon Shai say idis dinizik ki ziburis demazik. The brisa that Avram Chazal taught is talking about where the idis of the nizik is equal to the ziburis of the mazik. Rabbi Shmuel, he damer midaraisa b'dinizik sheminan, and we're assuming like Rabbi Shmuel that mina Torah the idis is determined based on the karkaos of the nizik, and the mazik could pay his own ziburis. Tikuna olam takin rabbanan b'demazik, and it was only a takanami derabbanan that the mazik has to pay his own idis. So begabe yasme. So when it comes to yisomim ukmur rabbanan daraisa, we went back to the daraisa in terms of whose idis we look at, that we look at the nizik's idis and not the mazik's idis. The point of discussion, which is a total side point, but the point of discussion a lot of the poskim have over here is, what was the name of the person who had this teaching? Avram Chozaa. Is Avram a name without a hey, not Avraham? Avram, is that still a name that's in use? Maritzchias brings from the Seder Adoros that we have to be misakin the girsa. It should be Avimi Chozaa. And he says he says it's probably because Gemara and Brachos, Aviv Gimel, says Kalakori la Avraham. Avram is over ba'asei ubalos asei. And we don't find the name Avram anywhere in the Gemara, except for Avimi, who was from a place called Chozaa. So it must be that it's not Avram Chozaa, it's Avimi Chozaa. It happens to be that there are no Avrahams I don't think there are any Tanam or Amorim named Avram anyway in the Gemara. This would be very unusual that we have an Avram but no Avraham. We have Yitzchaks in the Gemara, and we have lots of Yaakovs in the Gemara. But we don't. I don't know. It's like a riddle why that would be the case, that there's no Avrahams in the Mishnayos and the Gemara. But really what's at the root of the issue over here is, are you allowed to call a kid Avram? Meaning when the Gemara Bracha says, Kol HaKori La Avraham Avram is over Ba'asei, does that mean when you refer to the Av, to our biblical forefather, as Avram, you're over Ba'asei? Or does it mean you're not allowed to call anybody Avram? Because Avram is now a name that's been retired, right? Meaning that's really what's the core issue over here. Magen Avram quotes this halach in Archaim Sim Kufn Avram. The Magen Avram has a collection of the halachos that the Shulchan Aruch forgot, that just for whatever reason don't appear in Shulchan Aruch. So one of those halachos, they're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, but you know, allowed to talk Lashon Hara, right? So one of those halachos is this one, that you're not allowed to call someone whose name is Avram, you're not allowed to call him Avram. However, the Achronim point out that l'chora the issue is really only on the Av, but anyone else you're allowed to call Avram, there shouldn't be such an Isser. The Stechemet points out that from the Beis Shmuel of Ebenezer, he says by Gittin you should write Avraham, because Mistama, that's the person's name, named after Avram Avinu, and because Lo Yikore Yishimcha Avram Vayishimcha Avraham. So he quotes from the Marshal that if you have a Kabbalah in that family that they use the name Avram for whatever reason, and he gives an interesting example. He says, why would they use the name Avram? Why would you name a kid Avram instead of Avraham? He says maybe there were two Zaydis, and both of them were named Avraham. One of them is dead, one of them is alive. And you want to name after the deceased without insulting the living one. So you change the name a little bit. So you call him Avram, and that still counts as naming after the Zaydi Avraham without insulting the living Zaydi Avraham. I don't know. I would guess that you would upset the Almana and still insult the living Avraham. Maybe that's just maybe I've seen too much. But that's the example that he gives of how it would work out. But it's interesting. You do have the name does come up. I have a friend by the name of Avraham. It does come up sometimes that you have such a name. So anyway, back in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks on Rava from another Brisa. So Eini, is Rava really correct that if the Lova has to pay from Idis, then you collect from Yisomim from Idis as well? Vatani Rabbi Lazar Nifta'a said, Ein Yifrayim Minichse Yisomim Element Aziburis Va'afilu Ein Idis, that you're not allowed to collect from Nichse Yisomim from anything but the Ziburis, even if Hein Idis. What does that phrase mean? My Afilu Hein Idis Lav Alfagav Dichsiv Idis B'Shtara. Doesn't it mean that even if in the Shtar it's spelled out Idis, you're still only allowed to collect Ziburis when you collect from Yisomim? So lo, my Idis Shafai Idis. No, that's not what it means. When it says Afilu Hein Idis, it doesn't mean even if the Shtar said Idis. It means that if at the time of the Halva'a he had Idis, and then the Idis is gone, like it got stolen from him, or it got ruined by a flood or something like that, and now he only has Beninus and Ziburis left. So when the Karka Idis is gone, and that was the Karka that he was chayv in the Shtar for, now his chiyuv to pay the lova from his best is no longer in place, and it goes back to the regular halacha that when you collect from Yisom, you collect from Ziburis. That's what Afiluin Idis means, that you only collect from Yisom from Ziburis, even if there was a guarantee in the Shtar or the halacha would have been that you were supposed to collect from the Idis, but the Idis is gone. If the Idis is gone, so you don't go to the Beninus, you go to the Ziburis. Kidderava, Damrava, Hizik Ziburis, Gova Mina Idis, Shefai Idis, Gova Mina Beninus. That if Rava says, if you damage Ziburis, you could still collect from the Idis, but if the Idis is gone, the Shefai Idis means like the very, very best lands are gone, well then Gova Mina Beninus. Then the Chamor Masakin that you only collect from Beninus. V'gaba Yasmi, Ukmura Banadoraisa. But when it comes to Yisomim, we keep the din midar raisa that you can't even collect from the Beninus. You go back down to the Ziburis. So now the Gemara is going to discuss a new issue. Ein from Nichsei Yisomim El Min HaZiburis. So we had said in the Mishnah, when you collect from Yisomim, you can only collect from Ziburis. When we talk about Yisomim, are we talking about little kids, or are we talking about even Gedolim? So, Takanta Hudav Rabban Gabayasmi L'Ketanim Avid Rabbanon L'Gedolim Lo Avid Rabbanon. Do we say, well, this is a takana to protect. Who do we need to protect? Little children need protection. We don't need to protect gedolim. O dilma mishum delo masik adaita demalva demislova v'nafli nichse kambiyasme tavli noel delas hilka chavil gedolim nami. Or maybe no. The svara of why you can collect only ziburis from yisomim is that the whole reason why normally a loan gets collected from the beninus is because we want to encourage people to lend money. But whenever you lend money to somebody, you don't presume that the guy you're lending money to is going to die. You know, that thought doesn't cross your mind. So therefore, it's not going to be discouraging to you to lend money, even if you know that should he die, you're going to be stuck collecting ziburis. So if that's the svara, then that would apply to yisomim ketanim, yisomim gedolim. It's all across the board. I just don't expect him to die, and therefore I don't need to be encouraged to lend him money by being told that I'm going to collect from the yisomim with good property. So Tashima says, well, let's try to bring a raya. So again, the shaila is, when we say that you collect from Yisomim only from Ziburis, does that mean only Yisomim Ketanim or even Yisomim Gedolim? So Ditani Abaye Keshisha, Yisomim Sha'amru, Gedolim Vein Tzarech Lomar Ketanim. It's even Yisomim Gedolim and obviously Yisomim Ketanim that you collect Ziburis. So says, maybe that braisa that Abaye Keshisha taught us is only talking about the halacha, another halacha related to Yisom, that whenever you collect from Yisom, you need to take a shavua. Maybe that's true of Yisom Gedolim as well. The Gadol b'milu davua kekatan Bani, because a gadol, when it comes to his father's matters, is like a katan, meaning even if he's an adult and he's mature and whatever, he doesn't know his father's business dealings, so he doesn't know what his father paid back, didn't pay back. So that's why you need to take a shvuah even to the gadol. But maybe avlin yin ziburis, but maybe when it comes to what type of karka you can collect from, lo, maybe that's only for a katan and not for a gadol. So says Mar v'hilchasa yisom shamer gadol main tzar klam ktana bein l'shvuah bein l'ziburis, that the halacha is that whenever we say both dinim of yisom, both the din that you need to take a shvuah in order to collect and the din that you can only collect from ziburis, applies even to yisomim gadolim. So we paskin that it doesn't matter whether yisom gadolim or yisomim ketanim. So the Rishonim point out, the Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva and the Ran all point out that this is talking about by a malva, where he never would have imagined that the lovu is going to die, and therefore there's no chashash of ni'ilas delas if he's going to be stuck collecting from ziburis. But when it comes to damages, you collect from yisomim gedolim, from the idis, and not from the ziburis. That's how this group of Rishonim seems to understand. Okay. We then said that you cannot collect from Nechasim Meshubadim if there's still B'nai Chorim. Meaning, if Reuven owes me money, I can't go to the people that Reuven sold fields to collect from them if Reuven still has stuff. I gotta go to Reuven first. He's the one that owes me money. So, by Rav Achdavi Barami B'matana Heach, what if Reuven didn't sell fields? What if he gave them away as matanos? Right? Meaning, Reuven knows I'm coming for him. He knows he owes me $1 million, so I'm gonna come to collect my debts. So he doesn't want to give it to me, give his good stuff to me. He's got family members, so all of a sudden he starts gifting things to you know, random friends and family members. So am I not allowed to go to collect those gifted properties? I'm stuck with whatever Reuven kept for himself because he has nechasim b'dechor, and I can't go to those gifted properties? Or do we say no, a gift is different than if it's sold? I understand I can't go to people who bought from him, because the Chum made a takana that people who buy stuff should be protected on some level. So the level of protection we give them is that I'm not allowed to go straight to them to collect. But people who receive a gift, they didn't lose anything. They didn't pay for it. They didn't get anything in return. So, lo, maybe there's no takana derabanan. Or maybe that reflects a lack of understanding of how matanos normally work. People normally don't just give matanos stam. There's a relationship. They did you a favor, right? You buy a gift because, you know, he connected you to a person who got you a job, or he did something that didn't, you know, there's a reason for the matana. So there is a pseida de lukuchos, so to speak, on a matana. Vilchach keep pseida de lukuchos, Tommy. So we view that like pseida de lukuchos. Samnei Markshisha Bredra of Chisla Ravashi Toshma. Let's bring a raya from a braisa. Shchiv me Rasha Omar. If you have a guy who's dying and he says that he's dividing up his properties to three different people, and he says, Tnu Masayim Zuz Laploni. Give karka that's worth 200 zuz to Reuven. Usholish Meos Laploni. And karka that's worth 300 zuz, give to Shimon. And give karka worth 400 zuz to Levi. So ein omrim kol hakodem shtar zacha. We don't say that whoever's name came earlier in that shtar, that savo'a that he was writing, gets priority. We don't say that if there isn't enough karka to go around, that the first one gets everything that he's entitled to, and then the next name, and then the next. And when we run out, you know, the last guy is stuck holding the short stick. And since we don't do it that way, and we just rather divide it proportionally, meaning if the guy had committed, let's say in this case he had committed $900 worth of fields, and he only has, let's say, $600 worth of fields, so we just divide it proportionally, you know, 2, 3, and 4, as opposed to paying the 200 guy his full 200, and the next guy his full 300, and the remaining 100 to the last guy. We don't do that. So the fichach, therefore, if there's a shtar chov against the shchiv mera, kov mikulam, they all lose equally, and they all have to pay back equally. Avalim Omar, but if the guy said in his tzava'a, Tnu Masayim Zuz Laponi, I want you to give Masayim Zuz to so-and-so, acharav leploni. He doesn't just say and give 300 to Ploni. He says and after that give to Ploni. The acharav, and whatever's after that, give the $400 karka leploni. So since he said the acharav, so then you see there's a sequence that he clearly wants to give it in. So then omum kolakod mishtar zacha. Then we say whoever he had said to give first to gets priority, and therefore lefichiyotzal of shtarchov, the shtarchov that comes against him, and the malva wants to collect his chov from those who received these matanos, kovim and achron, the priority has to be given to the first guy, so the last guy is going to lose his field first. Ein lo, if the achron doesn't have anything left, kovim misha lefanav, then you collect from the guy prior to him. Ein lo, kovim misha lefanav, then you go to the guy prior to him. So the Gemara explains the raya from the Brisa, from the fact that the Brisa says bistam, that when you write a shtar, the achar of leploni, that you collect only from the last guy, so it sounds like v'afagav de kama beninis. That sounds like even if the first guy got a karka beninis, ubasu ziburis, and the last guy got a ziburis. Still, mi ziburis gavi, you collect from the ziburis, mi beninis lo gavi, and you don't collect from the beninis. Meaning it all goes based on the order, and not based on the quality of the karka. So So you see that the Rabbanan made this takana that even when it comes to a makabel matana, that as long as there is an earlier karka, or rather a later karka available to you, you can't go to the earlier guys. You're not allowed to go to the people who purchased stuff earlier. And so you see that the Rabbanan made such a takana even when it comes to matanos. So says Mar, no, not necessarily a raya. Maybe the Bryce is not talking about matana, so about balchov. So about that you owe these guys money. So says Mar, how could you say it's talking about balchov? Vahatnu ka'amar. It says give. Give means a matana. So says Mar, no, give doesn't mean a matana. It could mean tnu b'chovi. Give for payment of my chov. You know, people often like to refer to themselves as givers. So they say, here, I'm giving you back your money. Back my money, yeah, but that's called giving? Yeah, sometimes we call that giving. Tenu b'chovi. So, v'lechsi shtar d'man kadim. So the Gemara asks Vayter, if they're all balei chovos, why is the last guy to receive payment for his chov the first one to lose when someone else has to come collect? Why don't we just v'lechsi shtar d'man kadim? Why don't we see whose shtar came earlier? Look in the shtari halva'a, who came earliest? And whoever was as the earliest shtar halva'a will be the last one that you can collect from. So why don't we say that? Shouldn't it depend on that? Of who borrowed the money for, who lent the money first, second, and third? So it says more deleka shtar. Yeah, it should depend on that. But we're talking about a case where the guy doesn't have a shtar. But doesn't it say kolakodim b'shtar? So doesn't that imply that there is a shtar? It says no. B'shtar pakadita. When we said kolakodim b'shtar, we mean the shtar that this dying guy is writing, saying give 200 to this guy, 300 to that guy, 400 to that guy. That's when we say kolakodim b'shtar zacha. That's the shtar we're referring to. But we don't actually have the shtari halva'a where the dying guy borrowed all this money from all these people. If we had those shtari halva'a, then we would know who really gets precedence. So the Gemara brings another ukimta to explain the brisa in a way that it will not be poshet Rav Achtavoy Safek. So again, just to recap over here, Rav Achtavoy raised the following Safek. When we say that you cannot collect from Nechasim Mishubadim, if they're still Nechasim B'nei Chorin, does that mean you're not even allowed to collect from stuff that he gave away as a matana? Or does it only mean stuff that he had sold? So we thought we had a raya from this brisa, because the brisa spoke about a Shchiv Mera who says, give to this guy, then to that guy, then to that guy. So we see that there's a Seder Advarim, even though there are matanos over here. So you see that that even when it comes to matanos, you have to first go to the Nechasim B'nei Chorin before you go to the Mishubadim. So the first rejection of the raya was that the Brisa is not talking about matanos at all. Brisa is talking about balichov, so it's not about matanos. So we don't have any answer about matanos. Second rejection of the raya from the Brisa, v'iba yisema, afilu matana nami. Maybe it is talking about matanos, and you collect the beninus of the first guy rather than the ziburis of the later guy. The velokasha, my gov min aachron ein nifsad ela aachron. And you can't ask why does it say Gov min ha'achron, because what does it mean when it says Gov min ha'achron? It means that if the Malva grabs from the Beinus, from the first guy, so then the first guy can go to the later guy and take his son, the Ziburis, that he received. Because since the Shchiv Mirah said Va'acharecha l'ploni, it's not right that the later guy will receive something and the earlier guys won't receive anything. Meaning, as a Bal Chov, I can go to a Makabel Matana, even to a later Makabel Matana. I don't have to go to an earlier Makabel Matana, rather. But when we say in Gov min ha'achron, it means, and when I go to that earlier Makabel Matana, he could then turn around and confiscate the property from a later Makabel Matana. That's his problem, though. But when I'm going collecting my Chov, I don't have to pay attention to, oh, who sold first, second, third. I don't have to pay attention to that. I can go to any Makabel Matana and take the Chov that I'm entitled to. V'iba Yisemor, a third way to reject the Raya is that all the karkos of the Shchivimra that he gave as a matana are the same quality. They're all beninus, or they're all ziburis. So then the malva is going to be gover from the karka beninus that's by the last guy. Because just like the nosei matana could give to the malva whichever karka beninus he wants, so the makabla matana gets that zechus as well. So he's also able to be docha the malva to the beninus that the lova has, or to the beninus that's by a later makabla matana. So those are three ways of rejecting this raya from the Braisa, and therefore the Gemara is never really poshate this suffix. Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the two explanations why a nigzal can't collect payrolls from Mishabadim. Actually, I should say, tomorrow I have to drive back to New York to be a Menachem Avel, so because I'm driving back and forth, I don't think I'm going to be able to get this year tomorrow. I'm really sorry about the terrible inconsistency this week, but Belineder, Bez Hashem, actually... Thursday, stay tuned. Stay tuned to the WhatsApp for Thursday. I'm not sure what's going to be Thursday yet either with the times. But tomorrow definitely, because I'm driving back and forth, I don't think so. Okay, have a good
evening. Well, not tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, have a good evening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks.